Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 as we continue considering Jesus' teaching on prayer in this passage. Luke 11 from verse 5 through 13. And following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing the Gloria Patri, which is printed for you in your bulletin. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. Jesus is teaching us on the wonderful topic of prayer. And as Ryan reminded us last week, Jesus gives us the architecture of prayer. And we have the vertical dimension, prayer to God, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We also have the horizontal dimension of prayer for the various needs that we have. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. So God's help on the categories of our life. And it's a beautiful pattern for prayer. It's not wrong to pray it in those exact words, but it also is a pattern for us on how we might pray to the Lord and organize our prayer requests before the Lord. But there's more for us to learn about prayer that Jesus is getting to in this passage. And it's to teach something about our attitude toward prayer, the manner of our praying to God, but our attitude toward God in our prayer life. And many commentators look at this section as teaching on the theme of persistence in prayer. Now, Jesus will indeed teach on that thought very directly later on in his life. In Luke 18, we have Jesus very specifically telling a parable so that the disciples learn to continue to pray and not give up. But I think it's a different theme that Jesus has in this particular passage. There's persistence is a part of it, but that's not the main theme of it. The main theme, I think, of it is the confidence and the boldness that we have in praying to the Lord. Are you confident that God hears your prayers? Or do you sometimes wonder, is he really listening? Is he actually going to do something there? Is he paying attention to what I'm praying? And Jesus wants you today to get a sense of confidence and boldness in your prayer. I think the divine commentary on this passage comes out of Hebrews. The last verse of Hebrews 4 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." God wants you to be bold, and just like that neighbor was bold to his friend, He wants you to be bold in coming to Him for prayer and being confident in coming to Him in prayer. In the way Jesus organizes His comments here, He gives us an illustration of boldness in prayer. He then gives the instruction on confidence in prayer. And then He'll give us a second illustration of confidence in prayer. And I'd like to go to the instruction first. It's in verses 9 and 10. He talks to us about being confident in prayer, sort of the pattern, how we are to pray, but also the confidence we have in praying. So in verse 9, he says, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." He gives us instruction. These are commands. This is a command for how you are to pray. And in the Greek language, they're present tense, which means they're a continual action. So we could phrase it this way: keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. So there is a sense of persistence. It's also part of this passage, but it's the command for you to keep at your praying. Don't give up. Don't drop on it. Asking is requesting God's assistance, and it means we're conscious of our need. We know we need God. We can't do it on our own. We need God's grace. We need God's strength. We need His help. And so we ask Him. There's a humility. When we come to God, we humble ourselves before Him, knowing we need Him. We need His intervention. And so we ask. And Jesus says you need to ask. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. So asking is a very important part of our prayer life. The second element is seeking. Seeking is pursuing. There's a little part of human effort that's part of this part of the prayer life. We're seeking something. We're seeking help from God. And sometimes it involves putting some effort into it. For example, if you pray to God, if you seek, "Lord, please give me wisdom from your word. Teach me from your word." You have some effort that you put into it. What's the effort? Well, you got to read the Bible. For God to answer your prayer, "Lord, help me understand your word," you need to read it. You need to pursue it. You need to be involved in some effort to get God's word into your heart. And then there's the knocking. We have to keep knocking on God's door to seek His help in various areas. And then He gives us, this is the what gives us the confidence in prayer. He gives us the threefold promise in verse 10. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." It's not for some elite Christians. It's not for some. It's not just for those who are paid to pray, but it's for everyone. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened to us. And you and I are encouraged by Jesus' teaching to be confident in our praying and bold in our praying. And as a help to for us to get that in our minds, he gives two illustrations. The first illustration in verse 5 is that of a friend. He says, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.'" So a friend has another friend that's traveling. They come in late. Maybe they've been traveling in the cool of the evening rather than the heat of the day. Maybe it's just been a long journey, but they show up at midnight. And of course the friend welcomes them in. You obviously are going to welcome this traveler into your home. You won't make them sleep on the street, but they don't have any food. They normally go to the baker in the morning, so they don't have any food. And so they go to their other friend and say, they knock on the door and say, "Hey, give me 3 loaves of bread because a friend has come and I don't have anything to feed him." And the one inside says, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up to give you anything." Now, that all sounds a little strange to us. When the children are in bed with me, modern psychologists would say, well, there's some kind of problem with you if your kids are in bed with you. But we have to remember the culture. You know, they didn't have huge houses, and when it was time to go to bed, they would build the pallet on the floor there and consider their living room, and they'd all go to sleep. They won't not only have the kids and the parents there, but they'd also bring in the goats and the chickens and a cow if it's in the yard, and because they wouldn't want someone to steal those. So this would be quite a menagerie in this sleeping area. And he doesn't want to get up and disturb everybody, so he says, "Don't bother me." But Jesus says that even though he wouldn't get up and give him the bread because he was his friend, because of his boldness, he would get up and give to him. The NIV translates it boldness. Some translations of yours maybe has persistence. But it's really the word shameless. Have you no shame to bother me? No, I don't have any shame. I'm bothering you at midnight. I need the bread. He's shameless. That's literally what the word is. He's shameless. He's bold. He's going, maybe some persistence there too, but he's going to him at the inconvenient time to get this bread. And here we have, as parables do, a contrast. Sometimes it's a parallel, it's a contrast here. The contrast is between this friend and God, who is the friend. See, God is a friend who we can go to at any time. We can be shameless in going to God at any time and know that He will hear us. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you have that worry that invades you, or that thing you're concerned about, or some burden, and you wake up and you can't go back to sleep, what do? Well, you go to God in prayer. And the thing about God in prayer at 2 o'clock in the morning is He's awake. You don't have to wake Him up. He's watching and He's awake and He's ready to receive your request. He's the friend who is always there. You can be bold, shameless in going to Him. Sidney Gray Donis says that this does not mean the man keeps on asking and knocking from outside and thereby reveals a persistent disposition as many things. The truth that Jesus emphasizes is precisely this, that the friend will surely rise and grant the man's request. His coming at such an inconvenient time is the shamelessness. In this, he revealed how much he dared to ask and expect from that friendship. A Puritan, Thomas Brooks, makes the statement, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of His highest willingness." Prayer isn't trying to wrench something from God's hand. It's reaching to His highest love, His highest willingness. He is willing. There's one commentator who writes, "This does not absolve us from intensity in prayer. After all, we can guarantee the reality and sincerity of our desire only by the passion with which we pray. But it does mean this, that we are not wringing gifts from an unwilling God, but going to one who knows our needs better than we know them ourselves. And His heart towards us is the heart of generous love. If we do not receive what we pray for, it's not because God grudgingly refuses to give it, but because He has some better thing for us. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. The answer given may not be the answer we desired or expected, but even when it is a refusal, it is the answer of the love and the wisdom of God. You and I have a friend that's greater than any human friend. And we can be bold to bring Him our requests. The second illustration that He uses, beginning in verse 11, is the illustration of a father. And the comparison here, the comparison in the early story was a friend. Now here the comparison is with a father. And the example sounds rather strange to us. He begins in verse 11, "Which of you fathers?" Now, if you have a New King James Version or a King James Version, you know that it includes the phrase, if a son goes and asks his father for bread, will he give him a stone? Part of the majority of manuscripts, but not the oldest manuscripts. But at any rate, the NIV picks it up. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion." Now, it's convenient that David Bonner is here today, because he's probably the only one in this crowd who would think, "Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good exchange. I'd rather get the snake or the scorpion." But you see the point Jesus is making. And he goes on to explain that if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The comparison is between the earthly father and our heavenly father. Earthly fathers, even though they're evil, even though they struggle with sin and imperfections and selfishness and all the other things that we struggle with as men or as human beings, he would do anything he could to give what is good to his children. He wouldn't give him something useless like a stone. He wouldn't give him something dangerous like a snake or a scorpion. He wouldn't give him something useless again like a fish. Instead of a fish, the scorpion or the snake, he would give him whatever he could that was good to meet the need. How much more will our Heavenly Father do what is good for those who love Him, who are His children? He will care for them and give to them, and gives them a great gift, the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. The gift of the Holy Spirit had not been given fully as it would be at Pentecost. But in Romans, Paul brings together the gift of the Spirit with our praying, and that He is a help to our praying. So in Romans chapter 8, and you can keep yourself here because we'll go to another verse in a moment. Then in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, after talking about our groaning and the help of the Spirit in all of this, in verse 26, he says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." If you and I are praying and we're bold to pray and confident to pray, but we don't even know what to pray for, we don't know how to pray or what specific thing to pray for, the blessing that we have is we have the Holy Spirit who aids us in our prayer. And He takes our prayer and He brings it to the Father. And He's the one that helps bring it in conformity to the will of God. We pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done." And the Spirit helps bring our requests to the Father, in the great way. And we have the wonder of the Father as the Heavenly Father is the one who loves us and cares for us and arranges our prayer life and encourages our prayer life in the way that He does. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that. It's appropriate to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayer life, to help us love the Lord, to follow the Lord, to be guided by the Lord. And it's because of the Father's great abundance of love. And so here we're in Romans chapter 3, verse 32. We're reminded of this great giving of God. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? God's given us the greatest gift that He could possibly give us, His own Son. How is it possible that we would even think that He would not give us all we need? And so Jesus wants to encourage you to be bold, to come to God as a friend, to come to God as your loving Heavenly Father, to come boldly, shamelessly, expectantly, and confidently to the Lord. You and I are very blessed people that we have a God who cares for us to that extent. May we grow in our love and devotion to Him and friendship with God and with the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for the encouragements to pray. And sometimes we lack the determination to do that. Maybe we lack the confidence. We wonder if You're hearing us. Thank You for this reminder that You do. May we, O Lord, be among those who are bold and confident to come to You in prayer in our time of need, in our time of joy, and give to You our heart's devotion. May You, O Lord, help us to grow in this way for Your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.